Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches, the game show devoted to truly terrible television. I'm your host, Ned Airbar, and we have got quite a show for you. This episode, it's all about the home. Whether we're improving them, decorating them, or for the holidays in them, there's always been a place on TV for all things home-related. Our four contestants will pitch the absolute worst home-themed TV show ideas they can think of, then our network executive judges will give them some notes, and one unlucky pitcher will be eliminated, but they're not out of the game. Instead, they'll be promoted and become an executive for the rest of the show because the TV industry is all about failing upward. In round two, we'll spring a surprise game on the pitchers, then after another elimination slash promotion, the remaining two pitchers will face off in our lightning round. The winner of this episode of Bad Pitches goes home with a 20% off coupon from Bed Bath & Beyond. On this episode of Bad Pitches, we've got...
Hi, I'm comedian writer Matt Nadostup, and my grandfather was Philip Roth's eye doctor.
I'm Pega, and I was born in Utah, weirdly.
I'm Rod, and I did the interstitial transition music on Hannah Montana.
Wow. Hi, I'm unverified comedian Julia Young, and... a fun fact about me is that I'm not allowed to eat Jolly Ranchers because my mom thinks they're the perfect size for choking on.
Our network executive judges are Catelyn McGlynn and Matt Lee. Judges, what are you looking for from the pitchers today?
You know, I love a transformation. I love seeing a house just go from absolute shit to something that you would live in if you lived in Orange County.
As someone who really just didn't have like a quote unquote home growing up, I'm really just curious in anything that like protects me from cold or like rain or thieves. Like I just like, so pretty much a shelter in its most basic form is what I'm curious. Are you asking about the show or
yeah,
for in general?
Yeah, sorry.
No, in the show, I'm looking for creativity.
All right. We're going to get things started right away with round one with Julia Young.
Hello. You've all heard of the show Property Brothers, but what if they were women? Introducing from HGTV and Glade Plugins, Property Sisters. That's right, we found lady twins. We made one of them get her real estate license, made the other one go to contractor school, gave them some new teeth, and voila, the Property Sisters. A show we're calling Property Brothers Lady Edition. Jonathan and Drew Scott, move over, because Lady Jonathan and Drew Scott are here. They're not great with tools, and they're way too tall. And they're going to force you to live in a house you don't really like. Property Brothers, Lady Edition, because women belong in houses.
Amazing. I'm already very interested in this as a huge Property Brothers fan. Now, just to clarify, who do you see playing Lady Jonathan and Lady Drew?
Thank you for asking. Zoe and Emily Deschanel.
Okay. And are they twins?
I was expecting that question. In the sense that they were not born at the same time, they are not twins, but in the show, they are twins, if that makes sense, which it really should.
Sure.
The only note I have is way too tall.
Yeah.
And under that is a what looks like the WNBA. I'm very drunk. So I just want to... kind of ask, like, what is the WNBA?
I never mentioned the WNBA. I just want to be clear. That was never mentioned in my pitch.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Okay.
Any of our other pitchers have questions?
I just think it's really brave that you're not calling it the Property Sisters and that you're calling it...
Yeah, I mean, that honestly wouldn't make sense. It's... they're women, so you have to call it Property Brothers. Lady Property Brothers Edition.
Just to clarify, you did say it was called Property Sisters.
You know what?
Initially.
I feel like I'm being attacked right now.
Thank you, Julia.
We're going to keep round one going with our next pitcher, Rod.
Thank you so much, judges, and thank you so much, America. This show is a reboot of ABC Family's Extreme Home Makeover with Tork Paddington. But this show has an iconic twist in which one lucky family is chosen to have their house gutted and redesigned from the floor up every week for the rest of their lives. Each week, watch as one really, really lucky family is ripped out of their beds, put onto a bus to an undisclosed location, while Tork and his minions of design, or MAD, turn this run-of-the-mill family home into like a windmill museum just because they saw a photo of a windmill once in the house. While the house is being absolutely gutted, which is also how the family describes feeling during the process, we will have a screen-in-screen feed of the family in their temporary bunker trying to figure out what fun things are happening to their home and all of their earthly possessions. Every time Torque and his minions of design make a new renovation, a loud alarm begins blaring in the bunker that the family is being kept in to keep them excited for a cool new surprise. And the more excited Torque gets over, let's say, turning every corner of this room the same shade of red, and actually the whole house the same shade of red because he saw something red once in his life, every time he gets excited, that alarm gets blaring louder and louder and louder. The show is called Please Stop Torque. Thank you to God.
Oh, that's incredible. Loved it. I feel like this is reminding me of another show, a similar show that involved cars and a man named Exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Could we possibly get him involved? Because he's great at taking one tiny detail and then, you know,
running
like you
it.
Like fish and then he turns your trunk into an aquarium.
Definitely. I think that every once in a while, even with his endless expertise, Torque nonetheless will bring in a celebrity guest designer every couple episodes for this one family / victim's home. And Exhibit could definitely be one. Maybe he is stumped because he's like, you know, the kid had a book about fish. How can we turn his room into an aquarium that he can't live in? Exhibit is really the ideal person. So, you know, absolutely open to celebrity guests. Yeah.
His name is really Torque?
Yeah.
I thought it was Ty.
It's Torque.
Yeah, his name is Ty, though.
It's
but
Torque.
I mean, I think Torque works because...
Because it's his name. Agreed. Thank you for being aligned on that.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
I do have one question, though. I was Googling the WNBA, and I'm not sure if... is.
Thank you for being someone who did
which
that.
Which one of these two is actually from the WNBA? Is it Leslie Odom or Lisa Leslie?
I think it's Lisa Left Eye.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did the family consent to this initially, or are they, and they're now they're locked in a contract they can't get out of, or have they just been surprised by this whole project in the first place?
The first episode of this show will play out exactly like a completely traditional version of the original Extreme Home Makeover with Torque. And then in episode two, when Torque shows back up at 5 a.m. on Monday again, that is when something has switched. The thrill is that they realize this is their lives moving forward.
I just have a quick question. Can you describe the bunker that they're living in? Like, what are the conditions? Like, is it just like one room? Like,
yes.
Do they have a bathroom? Is it a corner?
No.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
All right. We're going to keep round one moving right along. Matt, you're up.
Okay. Tiny houses are the craze that has taken over the internet. TV and YouTube are full of profiles of millennial couples who are embracing minimalism and building their own small footprint homes. But you know what? These interviews are all the same. It's always like, we got tired of the hustle and bustle in Austin, so we took an old school bus, repurposed it into a Swiss chalet, and put it out in the desert. It took 8 years and $500,000, but now we've been here for 6 months and we couldn't be happier. America needs a show that tells the whole story, straight from couples who are 3 or more years into their tiny house journey. That's the premise of my series, I Hate My Tiny House. Hosted by Torque Pennington, each episode follows a couple who put their life savings into their tiny house dream, only to realize they don't actually want to poop in their kitchen. Will they figure out how to stave off their inevitable divorce and make peace with life in a glorified dog crate? No. Will they be able to sell their dream home on the open market? Absolutely not. I Hate My Tiny House is the only show that acknowledges the tiny house craze for what it really is, a stark indictment of the American housing crisis.
Amazing. I mean, already I'm thinking of a great sponsorship opportunity, LegalZoom. We'll have divorces. We'll have, you know, assets to split up. They're going to get sued for something just because people that put themselves in that situation, they probably have made other mistakes.
Yeah, most of them don't have the proper zoning. They're really not
aware
of that.
They're like, get this school bus off of this public park.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, Matt?
I mean, for me personally, any house is a tiny house. I don't know what a house is. So, I mean, you give me a shoebox, and I'm like, that's a home for my feet. If you give me a piece of newspaper, that's a home for my waist. It's like, I mean, I really relate to this, because truly, what is a home?
Can we use that? That's a tagline, sounds like, right there. What is a home? Not this.
Yeah. Any questions from our other pitches about I hate my tiny house?
I actually don't have a question. I just want to celebrate the torque renaissance that we're clearly in as a culture.
America cannot get enough torque.
Well, that was great. We have a lot to think about. Thank you.
All right. And now one more pitch for round one, and then we'll see who is getting eliminated. Pega, what do you got?
So Terrace House, as you probably know, is a slow-paced Japanese reality show that observes the uneventful lives of Japanese millennials. If you thought that was boring, wait till you see Terrace House House, a show where you watch people who watch Terrace House. Watch as a house full of Japanese-American teenagers, weeaboos, and people with depression sit on the couch in silence and watch all 250 episodes of Terrace House back-to-back. And you know how Terrace House, half of it is like a room full of commentators watching Terrace House? This show will also have that, where it cuts away to a room full of D-list celebrities who may or may not have color commentary on the people sitting in a room watching Terrace House. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. It's just a really nice, soothing, boring, mind-numbing show called Terrace House House.
This is so meta. I mean, just Thank the you. Layers of boring scenes that we will have.
I love boring television. I just think that it's like really having its like moment in our culture right now. Like people are just really like not willing to face the world and all the drama that it contains. And I think that like what we need right now is like to watch a show of people watching TV.
Could not agree more. And I think also there's a market for this if we frame it as something you put on to fall asleep to, mm-hmm. or something you put on when you leave your pets home alone and they need something to look at.
Right. Or alternatively, you put it on and then you end up like not sleeping at all because you're binge watching it for some reason and you don't know why and you just don't, like, you just can't stop watching it and nothing's happening.
Yeah. I love the idea of not being able to stop watching it. That's good for us.
I only have one question.
Yes.
And I'm looking you in the eyes when saying this is... Are you okay?
No one's ever asked me that. Yeah, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay. I'm okay. Thank you.
Great.
Question. On Terrace House, the people watching Terrace House are Japanese right. comedians and personalities. For Terrace House, would they also be Japanese? I'm just trying to figure out the subtitle situation. Thank you.
This show is like totally in English, but it still will have subtitles because it's like people probably will watch it on mute. You know, it's just like on the TV. And yeah, and the D-list celebrities, I just have a few people who are already signed on. We can totally like fire their asses and whatever and replace them with someone more interesting. But so far we have Kirstie Alley. We have the kid who played Beans on Even Stevens. Stacey Dash, and also we have the well-known WNBA star Lisa Lampanelli. Oh, wow. So I mean, there's star power to this, even though it's so boring, you know?
All right, no more questions. Thank you, Pega.
Of course, not everyone can move on to round two, so who's getting promoted this time?
You know, this was a really hard decision. So tough. And all of these shows have their own merits. But you know what? I had to take a personal affront to one of them. And I just want to say, as the proud owner of a tiny house that I also regret living in, that Matt is going to be joining us at the executive table.
Congratulations. You've been promoted.
I refuse to face my mistakes.
Go join your friends and have a nice long power lunch.
Thank you. It's an honor to lose.
All right, now it's time for round two. This time, we're going to be playing a game we like to call Trading Spaces. Contestants, you're going to be given a famous show from TV history, and you have to move them into a completely foreign living environment. It could be harrowing. It could be Beverly Hillbillies-level opulence. It just has to be a bad idea. Let's kick this off. Julia, you went first in round one, so you're going to go first in round two. Tell us what show you got.
Thank you. I got the show Friends. This show, Friends, will now be set... Are you guys ready? In Elon Musk's space. Imagine six friends, Chandler, Monica, Vanessa, Gary, Ross, and the blonde one, living in goddamn Mars. Their coffee shop has been turned into a space station sponsored by Keurig, and Monica's rent-stabilized apartment is now a rent-stabilized space apartment. They live, they work, they laugh, they love. They are on a break in space. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friends, semicolon or colon, in space.
This is great. I mean,
I know.
I don't see too many logistical problems other than the fact that, like, we have never been to Mars.
Yeah. Veronica Mars.
Yeah. Where do you, how do you see us, like, overcoming these, you know, physical, literally physics challenges?
Well, it would be a union show. So I feel like we wouldn't have to necessarily worry about that. There would be air that we would bring in, American made. Thank you for the applause. Thank you. You know, we would create jobs for whoever lives there currently. I don't want to accidentally say any slurs, but I think Martians. So yeah, I really think that I foresee no problems. Thank you.
Okay. In terms of budget,
yeah.
Are you thinking maybe $2 trillion? I'm just trying to figure out to actually get them to Mars.
Well, it's going to be on Quibi, so budget's not really an issue. Also, the currency exchange on Mars is very good for us. Time is different, so by the time we get billed for it, we'll be dead.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I really should have mentioned that at the front.
Yeah.
Top of the show.
All right.
Rod, tell us about what show you got for Trading Spaces.
The show that I got for Trading Spaces is Orange is the New Black. And on this reboot of Orange is the New Black, we are sending the inmates of Litchfield to, I know what you're thinking, and you're absolutely right, into a rip in time and space. Thank you. All of the women of Litchfield will be displaced in time and be sent into what is neither the present, the future, nor the past. It is truly a liminal space in which nothing is happening and they are completely at odds with anything they recognize as living human beings. Jenji Cohen's fun pop culture writing will be extremely interesting in a context that is horrifying to the human species because it is not recognizable, nor is it actually physical. Thank you.
I love it. I think the one thing that was missing from the show Orange is the New Black was a science fiction twist. I have been saying that for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, they're in prison, but like, what about the prison of our minds? That's not a question. So if anyone has one, go ahead.
My only question is, will watching the show drive you mad or will we just enjoy watching our beloved characters go mad?
Such a powerful question and one that Netflix is grappling with every day, I think. I think that there will always be a relationship between the viewer and the show. And yes, I do think that watching the show will absolutely turn your brain inside out. And I don't mean that in like a cool way. I mean, literally, this is a problem that we will have to face in the future. And that's not something to worry about right now.
All right, Pega, you're the last one to go. Let's hear what you got for Trading Spaces.
So the show that I got is a show I have never seen. The West Wing. I apparently have not seen a lot of shows. But this Aaron Sorkin drama, I had to look it up, actually takes place in the West Wing of the like palace of St. Petersburg in the Bolshevik Revolution. Yeah, so it's like a gritty, like fast-paced, like fast-talking drama starring like Sarah Alexander and like Rasputin and, you know, Lenin. It's like all your classic historical figures. Just trying to like make the system work, but then they keep like getting beheaded and killed.
This is a question that might not be for someone who's never seen The West Wing, but how much walking and talking is there going to be on the show?
It's going to be like all walking and talking for like the whole like whatever 48 minute episode. And at the very end is like shooting against a wall.
Okay.
Like
right.
Summary executions, like right at the very end, like great. Random.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
I have one question, mm-hmm. and I am looking you in the eyes when I'm asking
yeah.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a communist?
Yeah. So the funny thing about that is that, like, no, like, yeah, no, like, you know what I mean?
Do you believe in the redistribution of wealth?
Yeah, for sure. No, like, it's fine.
Thank you. That's all my questions.
Yeah.
I have a question about Rasputin.
He has a very large penis, to answer your question. Yes.
Well, that was part one. Thank you. Obviously,
one of the sexiest historical figures. My question is, who would play the stallion of Leningrad?
I think Paul Rudd is available. I'm very into communist narratives.
That has a huge dick.
Yeah, I honestly went there because I just assumed that Paul Rudd has a big penis.
Great.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. One more of our contestants is getting promoted to the executive level. Let's see who it's going to be.
All right. Well, you know, this was a really hard decision. So hard. It always is. So much. But you know what? It just came down to the logistics of filming in space. Yeah. And that brings us to the reason that Julia will be promoted to executive judge.
Thank you. You know what they said? No one told you life was going to be this way.
Okay. Thank you for playing Julia. And we look forward to your unreasonable cast.
So blessed.
All right. And before we get into the round three, it's time for a word from our sponsors. This episode's product was suggested by Chris in Glasgow, Scotland.
Has this ever happened to you? You've just finished a delicious, refreshing cup of tea or coffee, and now you're stuck with this empty, dirty cup. Paper or styrofoam cups just mean more waste, which is bad news for the planet. And ceramic mugs? You have to wash them. Nobody wants to do that. Luckily, we've got you covered with our new patented dissolvable tea and coffee cups. These eco-friendly, water-soluble beverage vessels are the perfect solution to the earth-conscious caffeine connoisseur on the go. When you're done with your drink, you're done with the cup. Our patented dissolvable tea and coffee cups will start breaking down the moment they come in contact with liquid, which means less for you to worry about. No more dirty dishes or overflowing landfills for you, not with our patented dissolvable tea and coffee cups, napkins not included.
And we're back. I hope you're ready because now it's time for the lightning round. Here's how this works. I have a list of show titles that the execs have greenlit sight unseen with no idea what the shows are about. So, Rod, Pega, you're going to tell us what these shows are about. You'll each get five titles, and then our judges, all four of them, will determine who the big winner for this episode is. Rod, you're up first.
Okay.
Tell us about the TV show Bad Bones.
Bad Bones is a reboot of Fox's Bones. Every episode is two different bad actors trying to find some sort of chemistry between them as the audience prays that there is anything that would keep them watching.
Pega, tell us about the TV show Frat House Hunters.
This amazing, revolutionary, important Me Too era TV show is about two frat boys trying to get their dicks wet. You thought it was going to go the other way, but it's actually not. It's about trying to have sex with drunk bitches.
Rod, your next show is Flip or Fillate.
Flip or Fillate is a six-part Holocaust documentary that is meant to unpack the question of whether it even happened, largely by interrogating gay sex acts, because the two are, and I'll leave it to the viewers to decide, somehow related.
This is a whole different podcast all of a sudden. All right, Pega, your next show is Mansion Munching.
Okay, this is about like U-Haul lesbians who move into a haunted mansion together after 1 week of dating. It's part Ghost Hunters and part House Hunters. It's part all those sort of shows. It's got haunting. It's got lesbian sex. It's got everything. It's got everything you could ever imagine.
All right. Rod, tell me about the show Martha Stewart Dying.
Martha Stewart Dying is a six-part true crime docuseries about whether Martha Stewart can figure out how to dye a t-shirt that is already tie-dyed. So it's sort of about, you know, how do we, if something is already one way, how do we actually interrogate it, challenge it, you know, create a new space for it to exist, to be changed into the exact same thing in a different way.
Pega, mm-hmm. Your next show is This Old Spouse.
Okay, so this show is actually a documentary / reenactment drama about Anna Nicole Smith. And I don't know a lot about her. I just know that she married an old spouse. And so, like, this is also sort of about me learning about her journey in a way, you know? And learning, like, why did she marry this rich old man? Like, what could drive, like, a young, blonde, beautiful woman to, like, marry, like, a rich, old man?
Rod.
Yeah.
This is your second to last show. Tell me about Million Dollar Fisting.
Million Dollar Fisting, hosted by Howie Mandel, is an NBC, believe it or not, primetime competition series in which, and I'll be honest, this title is quite literal, there is $1 million that has quite literally been shoved up the asshole of a random audience member, and our players have to literally lube up their hand, which takes up the entire first 20 minutes of the show in grotesque close-up with heightened sound mixing, so a lot of as they literally fist an audience member in the hopes of finding $1 million that has been shoved to the ends of their rectum.
One more time with the sound effects, please. Thank you.
Okay, Pega, your second to last show is Extreme Makeover Home Edition Face Edition.
There's just so many layers to that. It's just so hard to unpack. Like, what isn't this show about? It's the primary theme of this show is tackling extreme obesity and the ways in which the extremely obese are a home for sadness in a way. And it's got that guy from My 600-Pound Life, Dr. Now, and he just kind of like goes up to these extremely obese people and like berates them and also like gives them a makeover, and then they feel like so good but also so deeply sad at the end.
Wow.
Rod, your last show is House.
So House is it's like a 1950s Happy Days like show about a family, but all from the perspective of a house. All of the sound is muffled. The views are sort of kind of impossible to, you can't really see anyone because it's a house. You know, the house can't really see clearly, and that's something that's famous about houses. So it really is sort of like a vintage period family comedy drama from the perspective of like the ceiling of a house.
Okay, Pega, your last show is Eviction-O-Rama.
Okay, so this show is sort of like, it's a game show, and it's sort of like musical chairs, but with houses, like on all on the same street. And they're really nice houses. They're like McMansions. It takes a few days, like the same song is playing over and over and over and over, like blasting in their houses for a few days. And then the second it stops, like anyone who still hasn't unpacked everything is homeless.
Thank you very much. All right, that was the lightning round. Judges, what did you think of these lightning round answers?
Well, I just want to say that, first of all, almost none of these were about homes. But I have a question for both of you. So, Pega, for this old spouse, which I'm very into, how are we going to do this considering that both parties are dead?
It's going to be a historical drama. Like I said, it's mostly going to be reenactment. So it'll be very like Lifetime, very cheesy, tacky, but also like very serious.
Like photos of them with like a Ken Burns effect.
Yeah, like slow zoom in, and then it like cuts to like reenactment where like someone is wearing like a really bad blonde wig and it's like sort of falling off and they're like, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and then it's like, you know what I mean?
Got it. And then for Rod, Bad Bones.
Yes.
Love it. Who are some of the bad actors that you think would play?
I'm thinking James Vanderbeek's cousin, actually doing kind of like an Eddie Murphy thing where he's kind of doing both roles. And I'm also thinking Nicole Kidman, sort of as like stunt casting, playing opposite James Vanderbeek's cousin in a different wig from the week before when they played two roles.
Hi, I have a couple questions for you, Rod, I want to say. Yes. Now, for the show House, my first question is, what? And follow-up is, can the house talk, and who do you envision speaking?
The house can talk, but it is mixed in the same way as all the other ambient audio, and so what you hear is a lot of...
I have a couple questions. First off, about frat house hunters. Mm-hmm. You say that the frat brothers are trying to fuck drunk bitches, which obviously is great. But my question is, how hot are these bitches and how drunk?
So there's actually an equation for that. So like the more drunk they are, the less hot they need to be in a way.
I love a show that's backed up by data.
Oh yeah. We have like years and years of data on this.
So. And I also had a question about $1 million fisting, if you don't mind, Rod. So is everybody in the audience a candidate to be fisted?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. And where are you planning on getting these, like, you know, like Hollywood tour groups? What's the, how are you going to bring in this audience?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those Starline tours that just sort of begins in one place but ends inside of the studio for $1 million fisting. Everyone gets off in many ways. Thinking that.
I just have one more question. Could you do the sound again? Oh, that's the stuff.
I have a couple of questions for you. Rod, was it? I think it was called Flip or Fillate. That was the Holocaust Denier show.
I don't recall ever saying that.
Pretty sure you said in that pitch that the Holocaust didn't happen, and I guess my follow-up would be like, what? Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I don't remember ever saying that. And I don't think there's...
So you're denying being a Holocaust denier.
Comfortably, excitedly, and safely, yes, don't remember ever saying that. And I don't think there's any evidence that I did. So
that's a real shame because I'd heard Mel Gibson was very interested.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Well, I think we have a lot to think about.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
All right. That means there's only one thing left to do, and that's to crown this episode's winner.
Yeah. You know what? It took a lot of time to decide. I mean, literally just hours and hours of just difficult deliberations. You know, we got into a lot of stuff today. You know, we still need to talk to Matt about his apparent homelessness. And, you know, there's other things we need to get into. And you know what? While I really, as a network executive, I never, ever want to make light of the Holocaust. But there is just so much to gain in terms of the potential ad revenue. So we're going to go ahead and crown Rod the winner of today's Bad Pitches.
Wow, this is incredible. Again, I can't stress enough how honored I am, how much I never said anything about the Holocaust not happening, and how much of a privilege it is to be the first gay man to ever have a television show greenlit. This is a moment for history in my community. Thank you
Let's
so
hear
much.
It.
All right, thanks again for tuning into Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and check out our new episodes every other Monday. Like what you hear, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell your friends, anything to let us know we're putting our liberal arts degrees to good use. And if you've got an idea for a bad product for our commercial breaks, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or our Facebook at Bad Pitches TV, and we just might pick yours. I'm Ned Arabar. See you next week on Bad Pitches.